We're joined today by Pete Sikora, who is the Climate and Inequality Campaign Director for the New York Communities for Change. And he recently had an op-ed in the, Focus site. Albany just blew it on climate again. Pete, how did Albany blow it on climate again?
Oh, hey, Mark. By not passing any significant legislation at the scale of the crisis and by not funding the climate solutions and investments in jobs to make a huge difference. And that's what we need right now. So they just whiffed once again.
And there were quite a few climate bills, the CCIA, corporate polluter penalty pay, bills to stop new fossil fuel infrastructure, fossil fuel subsidies, public power. There just seemed to be a host of issues that were put on the table about climate. Why were the legislature so unwilling to take any action?
Yeah, you know, it's not a lack of thoughtful and actionable proposals that's the problem here. The problem is that the enormous special interest money and lobbying behind the scenes and corporate power that restrains action whenever their profits and executive compensation are threatened. So to overcome that requires a movement of activists and a really focused, aggressive campaign. And so the article I wrote argues that that needs to happen immediately and did not happen this year. And that's part of the reason for Albany's inaction.
Well, it sort of summed up in these two sentences you wrote. The inside game will never work on issues that seriously threaten deep pocket corporate interest. And for major change, you need relentless outside mobilization. And then you cited campaigns such as ban fracking, some of the campaigns to stop particular oil and gas pipelines, even the divest from the New York pension funds. Why were those successful and why didn't we see similar efforts this year?
Those efforts were successful because a group of dedicated activists and organizations mobilized at scale with a large multi-year effort that involved hundreds, if not thousands of people in taking action. And so that's the scale that it takes to get to make major politicians bend to popular demands. And that's why those efforts won. And conversely, why this year's legislative efforts did not win. Legislators whine about being pressed by activists and they complain and the governor doesn't like it either. And unfortunately, too many groups are too deferential to the inside game. They don't want to go out and criticize politicians for failing to act. And instead, they try to preserve their access and ability to lobby them. They don't want to have their meetings cut off. And that is a approach that will doom New York to failing to take major action. You can win little stuff with smart lobbying, incremental changes here and there, little nips and tucks to the system. What you can't win is the scale of change necessary to deal with the magnitude of the problem.
Now, one of the subheadlines in your article in Focus was fighting big environmental fights often means fighting against corporate environmental groups. You know, what are corporate environmental groups?
These are groups that cover for the system. In some cases, they're funded by corporations or by wealthy individuals who do not want large scale change. So they present as environmental organizations, but depending on the issue, they may actually be undermining strong action or outright opposing it. So that happened on fracking, where big, well-funded national organizations actually opposed activists who wanted to ban fracking, which is crazy in retrospect. But at the time was, you know, a major reason that activists had to overcome. Of course, the main opposition comes from the oil and gas industry, various corporate interests, but it doesn't help when there are so-called environmental groups that are willing to front for those interests.
You know, one factor that especially the media cited was that the state legislature you know, basically was in a lockdown situation, which made it obviously more difficult for people, you know, doing direct protests, confronting legislators to do that. And it was sort of interesting as politicians demanded that Cuomo open up the state as COVID, you know, vaccinations took off. The one place they never demanded that the governor open up was the state capitol.
It certainly helps to be able to confront legislators in person and get a lobby them, talk to them directly, pressure them, do direct actions, yell at them. All of those things actually make a very big difference in a well-run and focused campaign. So it sure didn't help to have the Capitol off limits. However, there were very strong outsider focused mobilizations and campaigns that did win major change. NYCC, for example, was heavily involved in the push to raise taxes on the rich and also to fund money for excluded workers, undocumented workers, and other workers who were not getting any sort of unemployment help and are truly desperate in the coronavirus crisis. So those campaigns did employ very serious kind of pressure tactics at scale and won, despite being unable to enter the state capitol.
I guess 2.5 years ago, maybe even 3 years ago at this point, the state passed the CLCPA, sort of a landmark, you know, climate law that was cited as an excuse by some of the legislative leaders. Let's wait for this council to come out with this advisory report as to our next steps. What should, you know, the climate movement in New York State be doing at this point as the clock continues to tick, you know, towards, you know, global warming tipping points?
I think that there needs to be a recognition that being sucked into the governor's micromanaged process to theoretically advise and inform the implementation of the CLCPA is and focusing on that is a huge mistake. Instead, there needs to be a relentless, large outside mobilization to pressure the governor to actually act on climate. Right now, the governor's subgroups are failing to recommend, even just recommend, the pollution cuts and job creation necessary to implement the already kind of too minimal goals of the CLCPA. And the reason that that's happening is that the governor is not feeling the pressure to act on this issue. So people need to get in the streets. They need to get into a serious campaign that puts the outsider pressure on to then implement that law and exceed it, as well as passing the many obvious budget and legislative and regulatory items needed besides the CLCPA.
So one of the issues that certainly New York Community Should Change and others is heavily focused upon is the need to, you know, halt new fossil fuel infrastructure, which has often been translated into fights against particular gas pipelines and also some right. power plants. This is not something that even the progressive Democrats, you know, necessarily been willing to push. In our last minute and 15 seconds, how do you deal with going after the fossil fuel industry?
The Clean Futures Act is prime sponsored and heavily pushed by a progressive Democrat, Zohran Mamdani, in the Assembly and Jabari Brisport in the Senate. And that bill would prevent construction of all large utility scale fossil fuel power plants. That's one good way. And that's an example of a bill that ought to have passed. To take on the fossil fuel industry requires a large mobilization to pressure the governor and secondarily the legislature and individual legislators and legislative leadership to take action at the scale of the crisis. There's no shortcut. It takes people in the streets pressing in significant numbers to become a relentless political force that they can't ignore.
We've been talking to Pete Secura, climate and inequality campaign director, New York Community Should Change. Pete, if people want to both check NYCC out and also this recent article in Focus, how best can they do that?
They can go to the New York Focus website and read the story. They can call me on my cell, 917-648-7786. They can email me and they can go to our website, nycommunities.org. My email address is pete.secura@gmail.com.
Thank you very much, Pete Secura. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.